sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well and staying tied down. My goodness, there's some serious wind today. We've gotten some gusts well over 30 miles an hour, and there's a possibility of gusts of up to 50 miles an hour between now and tomorrow afternoon. So just be aware of that. I don't know that we're in for any severe weather.
No, you're in for 2 hours of windbags,
yeah,
right?
You've got that every day right here.
Some serious hot air on this show, but no, it's I guess there's some. I heard and I didn't investigate further, Bill, but it is in fact Fat Tuesday, right?
Yes, and, indeed it is.
And this is I know that there's pretty serious weather in
New Orleans.
And New Orleans and Mobile are both dealing with, they're having to rearrange some of the celebrations tonight out of concern that there's the risk of thunderstorms and maybe worse than thunderstorms. And things can get bad down there when you're talking about thunderstorms and tornadoes. And so hopefully everyone celebrating tonight, near and far, can remain safe. Like that's this is a time of year. I know it matters a little bit to you, Bill, because coming from where you're from, the different places you've lived that celebrating.
I've been around Mardi Gras and Mobile and New Orleans and Carnival in Brazil. So yeah, there were some all serious partying.
Sure, and Northwest Florida has a little Mardi Gras festivity of its own. So hopefully everyone can let the good times roll tonight, right, Bill?
That's absolutely,
and everyone can be safe there, and both in the places where they've been doing this forever.
Hopefully the weather doesn't just make it a whole lot worse.
What's our forecast tonight? Is it supposed to be rain? It's supposed to be stormy and a little bit windy.
It's going to be very windy
overnight tonight. So
70-80% chance of rain overnight. Overnight is a big concern, and that's when it's always the scariest too. When it's dark and you can't really see things. I mean, if there are trees or limbs or things like that.
Tell you what, if you're going somewhere to watch the game tonight, be safe, because Auburn on the road against Texas A&M with the 8 p.m. start. And I say 8 p.m. start, Bill. It's ESPN, and there's a game before Auburn.
Yeah, it'll probably start by 8:15, but it may not be on ESPN.
Sure, stay agile as far as your ability to switch to a different channel to watch the Auburn game, just in case it starts, on ESPN News or somewhere else. But Auburn and Texas A&M scheduled for 8 p.m. Tonight on the mothership, right?
Yeah, and it's 7:30 will be the airtime over on Wings 94.3, so that's one thing you can count on. And speaking of the broadcast, we will be talking to the voice of the Auburn Tigers here in a little while. Andy Burcham texted me a little while ago and said he was doing his pregame interview with Bruce and then would be back to the hotel before they left. He would text and let us know when he's ready, probably around the bottom of the hour. So looking forward to talking to Andy. The first time we've had a chance to talk to him since that huge win Saturday up in Lexington. But Dan, it is a different sort of feeling, isn't it? I mean, after Auburn won that, and then Alabama lost, and Auburn clinched the SEC title, it doesn't feel the same today.
The championship stakes have been taken off the table in both of these games. And the point I made yesterday, and we'll talk about it with Andy too, I mean, I don't even know if Saturday is necessary. I mean, the fact that Auburn took care of business at Rupp Arena is a big takeaway from Saturday.
Right.
But the difference between Auburn and the other teams that could have won the title this year, right? Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, like they all had bad nights against what we would consider inferior teams. Like Tennessee losing to Vanderbilt, Alabama losing at home to Ole Miss, Florida losing at home to Missouri, losing in Athens to Georgia. If they had won those games, right? Think about if those teams had just won those games. Just the games where not you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If they'd won those, then we'd still have a race. I mean, Auburn wouldn't have clinched.
Yeah, and so I think that's the, you know, and Bruce talked about this team's ability to avoid the letdown. I mean, this team had
right.
This team had moments where they were tested against South Carolina and Texas and Georgia. You know, games where it could have, you know, Arkansas led in the final minutes of the game at Neville Arena. Like there were moments where this race could have gotten more interesting because of Auburn. And instead, what they did was they, except for the night they lost to Florida, like they took care of it. And every time they had a talent advantage, which the other best teams in the SEC can't say. Every time Auburn had a talent advantage in the conference this year to this point, I suppose if they lost tonight, you would say they lost to a team that's even though A&M's been in the top 10
at
points this season. But I think tonight would be an example of Auburn having that game. But they've already clinched the regular season title. When the conference title race was happening, the only contender that can say they never lost to an opponent that they should always beat is Auburn.
Yes, absolutely right. And Bruce was talking about that a little bit yesterday. How this team has not, you know, played below expectations. They have met or exceeded their expectations, and
in a year with a lot of other great,
in
a year with multiple Final Four contenders in the SEC who can't say that. Like in a year with multiple teams, Florida. I mean, would you agree, Bill? Florida, Tennessee, and probably Alabama. At least, maybe I know some people would tell you Ole Miss is like a metrics darling that could make like a tournament run. But like I think the SEC's got at least on top of Auburn,
at least three
genuine Final Four contenders, and all three of them had nights where they let it slip away. And that's the reason. And that's the reason Auburn goes into this week with two games left in the league, and they've already won the regular season title.
Yeah. So tonight is a big
challenge,
and that's really what
has sort of deflated, like the tension. Because imagine if it was a three-way tie, right? Going into this week, like if the league was still relatively wide open between the contenders. Tonight's game, I think, would feel considerably different. Auburn deflated the tension in a lot of ways. And speaking of which, we'll talk about the crowd tonight's an interesting point too. But Auburn deflated the tension because they were able to take care of business every single night, not just against. I mean, they again losing to Florida, but every time they absolutely had to have one, or else they would have lost their separation with the rest of the league. Every time that was on the table, Auburn ended up closing it out, winning the game. Apparently, A&M's had some lackluster crowds.
Yeah,
the last couple of home
they
games.
Have been disappointed, and their play has been disappointing. They come in on a losing streak right now, and this is their last chance to really have that signature win. To really give them a boost as far as seeding, they're gonna be in the tournament. There's no question about that. But they are really limping home right now, and I believe this is their last home game. They go to LSU to close out the season Saturday, so that's not going to be anything that's going to boost them. It could stop their losing streak if they lose again tonight. But there's a lot more on the line for Texas A&M than there is for Auburn. So that's the challenge for the Tigers tonight.
A&M to me feels a little bit like last year's South Carolina team. And last year's South Carolina team stayed in the conference race longer. They won 12 or 13 SEC games last year in Columbia. But I look at A&M, and not to disparage anything they've done, tonight's game could be close. A&M could even win tonight. But I look at A&M and I think style of play, really leaning on two inefficient guards, and we talked about this a little bit on the Observer podcast. Like of the SEC's non-bubble teams, of the teams that feel like they're in the NCAA tournament, A&M's the one I look at with are they going to get out of the first round kind of skepticism because of the inefficient offense? I mean,
they don't shoot it well. They just rely on, as Bruce said yesterday, throw it up there and go after it and try to get it again and put it back up there until hopefully it goes in.
Yeah, they're outside the top 300 in D1 basketball in a couple of offensive categories, and it's like this is a tough way to be. I mean, they play hard and they are they're absolutely tenacious on the second shot and on the putback attempts. They're a tough offensive rebounding team, but that can't be your only skill, right? Like you can't just be a team that's good on the offensive rebounds, mm-hmm. especially if you're going to face some quality 3-point shooting, which A&M will in when they're against the best teams in the SEC and when they're playing against NCAA tournament competition. So I think that A&M is going to be. I think A&M could be a trendy pick to leave the NCAA tournament early. Like, I think people are going to look at them in the bracket and say they don't have the offense and they're going to get upset. You know, depending on – we'll see how big of an upset it is depending on where they're seated.
Right.
Like, I've seen A&M on, like, the 4-5 line, and they feel like if they're a 5, they feel like they're going to be everybody's
5. Oh, yeah, you're right about that.
They're going to be everybody's 5-12. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to be everybody's 5-12 upset because of the way they play.
But tonight, tonight's a different story. I mean, I feel like a lot of maybe the feeling.
They could also make a Sweet 16 Elite 8 run as a 5 seed too.
Like, but I'm just saying that's not to say that tonight will be a cakewalk for Auburn, because again, this will be a challenge to see how focused Auburn is. They have shown their maturity. They have gone out and played, with the exception of that Florida game, and they didn't play. It wasn't that they didn't play well or play hard against Florida. They gave Florida too many open shots and Florida hit them. But tonight will be a challenge to see, because it's a quick turnaround from Saturday, back-to-back road games. I heard somebody saying a little while ago, it just doesn't feel like game day. It doesn't feel like that Auburn ought to be playing tonight, because you're still celebrating the SEC title.
Right, and that's a dangerous situation for Auburn to have a quick turnaround right after a really emotional victory,
yep.
A really emotional Saturday. But this team is going to have to get used to quick turnarounds, right? You play,
oh sure,
you play twice in 72 hours in the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. right? So I mean, you have to be ready to go at a moment's notice, and I'm sure Bruce, and you might have to do some traveling, right? So I'm sure Bruce looks at this as an opportunity to learn and to test out. Something he hasn't had to test
hopefully
out very often this year.
Hopefully you get to do a good bit of traveling, but you stay where you travel for 72 hours.
Yeah.
Then you move to another place and stay there.
Although if Auburn's in Lexington and Atlanta, they're not really doing a tremendous amount of traveling.
But it's better than being home.
It's better than being home. And that looks to be – I know someone – weren't we talking about like the possibility of Florida – was it Brian talking about maybe Florida making a push for
last week? Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it looks to be pretty locked up.
That was before this past week.
I mean,
not anymore. I don't think.
I mean, even if you went with some sort of doomsday scenario, right? If Auburn were to lose its next three, I think it would be tough for Florida to put together a resume.
I do too.
That has enough.
Now, if Auburn will lose their next three, maybe they don't go to Lexington.
I still think that, but I still think they're the top seed in the tournament. It's right there with. I mean, well, Duke would be there,
but I wouldn't want to chance it.
I think they're the top one seed from the SEC.
Yes.
Still.
Yes.
Which makes it tough to leave them out of Lexington or Atlanta. I think the question would be, if Duke were the number one overall seed in the tournament, would Duke pick Newark over Atlanta as the place to play the Sweet 16 and Elite 8?
You know, it feels like they would.
I think so too. So which means Auburn has more than one path to being the one seed, mm-hmm. in the Atlanta region, which would be huge, right, Bill? You get the sense that, I mean, and it's not everything, because the matchups are, it's on the court where this is decided, but the possibility of Auburn being able to play Lexington and Atlanta in the first weekend, and if they get to the second weekend, the second weekend matchup being there in Atlanta, like that's just it's a dream scenario. As far as aside from maybe playing the first round in like Birmingham or something, right? Like it's as ideal as you could really set up for an Auburn team that's been in position for a one seed and that kind of placement in the tournament all season.
Oh yeah. So We'll talk with Andy Burcham here in just a little while about tonight's matchup. Look back at Saturday's win over Kentucky. We've got Jake Crane coming up in hour number two. But aside from those two, our phone lines will be open for you to call in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive. Give us a call on the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. I'm looking at the SEC schedule. It is really interesting tonight. You've got five SEC games tonight, one at 5, one at 6, one at 7, one at 8, and one at 9. That is crazy tonight. The Georgia-South Carolina game tips at 5 o'clock on the SEC Network. LSU at Kentucky is 6 o'clock on ESPN2. Texas at Mississippi State is 7 o'clock, or whenever the Georgia-South Carolina game ends is when you'll be able to see it, because it's the it's 2 hours after that Georgia-South Carolina game, but it's scheduled for 7 o'clock on the SEC Network. And then Auburn and Texas A&M. Who is the game leading into that, Dan? Do you know who the ESPN game before Auburn, Texas A&M is?
Let me double check on that. I know LSU, Kentucky is early, but that's not
that's on the deuce.
Yeah. I think the let me see what I can find about the what game is. I don't think it's a top 25 game, but I know you're right. I know there's a 6 p.m. ESPN, and I will tell you.
Well, and while you do that, then there is a 9 o'clock game on ESPN.
It's not that golf, is it?
Golly, it may be. It may
6 p.m. on a Tuesday night. It might be.
I haven't looked at the ESPN schedule.
It might be virtual golf at six p.m. Okay. Well, maybe that'll end at 8.
Yeah, hopefully. Right? Hopefully that ends on time.
Yeah, maybe.
But Arkansas and Vandy, that's a late start in Nashville, man. A 9 o'clock tip in Nashville.
You know what, Bill? Like crystal blue persuasion, right? Like I'm not gonna say anything mean about the golf for folks who are enjoying it. Right?
Oh, yeah. Apparently quite a few folks are.
Yeah, it may not be your cup of tea, but you know what I mean? So the Georgia-South Carolina game is at 5 on the SEC Network. There are a couple of 5 p.m. tips, but I don't see a college basketball game listed for ESPN at 6 p.m., so I think it might be they might be in the playoffs or something for the golf league.
That's something I just I can't recall seeing. Five games on a weeknight, and all five of them start at different times. Yep. One at 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. So they staggered the games for the SEC. Obviously, I mean, the Auburn A&M game is the only matchup of ranked teams.
Couple of ranked teams are in action from the SEC tonight.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Mississippi State's hosting Texas.
Mississippi State has a couple of pieces that are getting hot right now too. Like they jump back into the top 25, and they're a. I mean, they're a team with a couple of weapons, right? I mean, Hubbard can take over a game. Aren't that many guards in college basketball that can take over a game like Josh Hubbard. And Matthews is a really, you know, he's an intriguing sort of point forward that they can use to run the offense. Like, I think State's they've been playing well down the stretch. Like, I think there's something to how. What do you feel about this, Bill? Like, should the committee factor in how you're finishing the season? Like,
they always have talked about that.
Like weighing February, not necessarily the conference tournament,
how you finish the regular season. Now, if you carry that into the tournament, sure, they notice that. But I think it's more emphasis on how you play the last, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of the regular season.
Yeah, and if you're talking stock up, stock down in the SEC, State stock is up over the last couple of weeks because of the way they're playing. Vanderbilt stock is up.
Oh, very much.
Over the last couple of weeks. Vanderbilt's going to be on that 8-9 line, and you do not want to be. And there's a chance it's Auburn. Like you do not necessarily want to be the one seed that could see Vanderbilt in the round of 32 if they're on that 8-9 line. The rule we talked about it last week with Jake. The rule is that if there's a team from your conference that you've only seen once when the tournament starts, not the conference tournament, like on Selection Sunday, if you've only played that team once all season,
yes, you could play them in the second.
You could see them in the round of 32, right, and that means round. Yeah, and that means there could be an SEC team. Georgia's off the table because Auburn saw them more than once,
right?
But Vanderbilt could absolutely qualify as a. I think if A&M were to keep losing, it's interesting to see if they could play their way down to the down to the 8 line potentially.
Well, I mean they're really. I don't know. If they go in with having lost 5 out of 6 and get bumped early in the SEC tournament,
yeah.
Maybe so.
I mean, I just think they'd go in kind of cold. But I think State and Vanderbilt both stock up. I think A&M stock is down. Texas and Oklahoma feel like they're playing their way out of the tournament.
Yeah, I agree
completely.
I agree. I don't.
Texas could finish 500. Like Texas could lose tonight to State. They could lose.
Yeah,
they could lose
their last two, and then in the tournament and finish 16-16.
They don't feel like a tournament team at all to me. And I also wonder if I wouldn't be shocked if they made a move. Terry's no, sort of like either. he stepped into that job in under weird circumstances with Chris Beard, and I could just see this season being a big disappointment with the talent they had.
First year in the league, they expected to be better than this. Oh yeah,
and they think so. And don't they think that with the right coach making the right and pushing the right NIL buttons, they
know they've got the resources.
They could be a lot better than this. And I think there are a couple of. I mean, I tell you what. I mean, I say his name every time a job opens up here, Bill. But I mean, what do you think Will Wade would be doing in Austin, Texas right now? Like, what kind of team do you think?
He'd be better than 16-13.
What kind of team do you think he'd put together out there? Arkansas State's got a tremendous coach in Brian Hodgson, the guy who was Nate Oates' right-hand man for years at Buffalo and Alabama. He's winning at Arkansas State. I could see schools looking at his pedigree and saying that's somebody to watch for. I think both Texas and Oklahoma, if they're not NCAA tournament teams, you're sweating the next couple of days if you're.
I think they're long shot. Or right now they're, they've got some work to do to become tournament teams. I think, I think is Arkansas in? Are Arkansas and Georgia definitely in?
Arkansas, I mean, to me, Arkansas and Georgia feel like play-in game teams right now.
See, so Arkansas and Arkansas is at State, right? So I mean, you've got that one. Got that one going on tonight. I mean, I think Cal needs to. No, Texas is at State. Arkansas is at Vandy. That's right. I mean,
Arkansas
needs another win or two.
The thumping to South Carolina over the weekend. I thought Arkansas went into the weekend looking like a team that was maybe off the play-in game line. I thought they'd maybe played their way into. The buys. They're one of the top. They weren't one of the last four teams in. Now they feel like one of the last four teams in. I would understand if someone. I don't see a tournament team in Texas or Oklahoma. Either of them right now. Maybe if they finish strong, Texas could change my mind. But I think I would not have them in my bracket projection right now. I would have Georgia, and I would have Arkansas both. In the play-in games, not playing each other, but in the play-in games, and I wouldn't have Vanderbilt. I wouldn't even have Vanderbilt on the bubble.
Oh no, right I wouldn't now. Either.
I think I mean
Vandy's 20-9. They're 500 in the league.
Yeah, that coach is doing an amazing job. If I were a school that thinks it could be a superpower, I would kick the tires on Mark Byington. It's one season at Vanderbilt, so it's early.
Yeah. Now it would be really interesting to see. I mean, Vandy, you don't ever know what their numbers are, but they have to have resources if they really wanted to keep him.
Bruce said at the press conference before he played Vanderbilt that you can't assemble that roster without NIL resources. Like he said, he looked at the players on that team and said, you've got multiple guys who were getting minutes at major conference schools and went into the portal. I wonder how many of them Bruce recruited himself, Vanderbilt actually surprisingly made a pretty good offer. But it's a Yeah, I mean, I you know, you people have wondered if Vanderbilt could line things up in a sport. I mean, you look at what they're doing in baseball, right? Like, people have thought that you know, Vanderbilt could line things up in the right way in basketball and throw some punches. He's really impressive, Mark Byington, with what he's been able to do at Vanderbilt. I agree that they shouldn't be a bubble team.
334-321-1390. Again, we expect to be talking with Andy Burcham here in the next few minutes or so. He said probably sometime after the bottom of the hour. He's in College Station getting ready for tonight's 8 o'clock tip with the Tigers and Texas A&M. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
7.
Oh, Butch knows better than that. It's the drive. I mean, yesterday, I heard Jacob saying yesterday he did a return for On the Line.
Oh, did he just bring people back to On the Line?
Yeah, well, that's all right. Yesterday, Bruce welcomed everybody back to the drive for Jacob. So, you know, we understand the guys are usually practicing both basketball and baseball while we're on. So we'll get the time straightened out. But, yeah, it's great to have those. Great to have those liners from the coaches. Auburn baseball was supposed to be playing tonight, but because of the threat of weather in Birmingham, they've moved that. Well, the UAB game will be tomorrow at 5:30. Auburn, of course, coming off that three-game, I guess you call it a sweep. They won the round robin. They were the only team to go through. They beat the other three teams in the round robin out in Arlington over the weekend. So Auburn baseball and softball off to outstanding starts. And, again, that'll be tomorrow. So that'll be on Wings. Had the ball game been played tonight, the drive would have actually ended a little early because a 6 o'clock game would have meant 5:45 airtime, and you wouldn't have baseball and basketball running on the same station when they were going to be overlapping. So now we've got everything's back on Wings. Basketball tonight, 7:30 pregame. Baseball tomorrow, 5:15 pregame for a 5:30 first pitch.
Tell you what, Bill, it's very exciting to get to talk to one of the few people who saw the second half of the Auburn Kentucky game live. Right? Because because for most of us, Auburn, Auburn pulled the plug, right? And the TV broadcast went off with about...
Auburn didn't pull the plug.
Auburn pulled the plug on everyone else's conference championship hopes, and the picture was lost at some point along the way, so folks weren't able to see a lot of the second half, and as we said yesterday, a lot of folks took to the radio and made sure that they made sure they could listen to one of our favorite people to talk to.
Yeah, and we're still waiting to hear from Andy.
Oh, is he not on the line? Yeah.
We're waiting to hear. He said he would let me know.
I was getting ready to throw it to him.
He said, I'll text you when he gets back in his room's ready for us to call, he'll text.
Okay, well, tell him I said all that.
Oh, let's see. Did I get a text right then? Nope, not yet. That was just a note. I thought, boy, that's something. If while we're talking, he says it's time to go. But, yeah, we should be talking with Andy shortly here as the Tigers get ready for Texas A&M tonight. How concerned are you about Auburn really being into this ball game? I'm more concerned about, is Denver Jones going to play? And if not, not concerned, but I'm really interested to see how the point is handled if Denver's not available.
Right. What do they do with the minutes that aren't for Todd Pettiford? I think it would be a surprise. Well, I'm going to be careful about this. I'm not. What do you think? Denver playing?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think Denver. I think you.
If it's compromised at all, right? Like, I understand the desire.
You don't want him to aggravate it anymore either. It's been it was just Saturday and it's Tuesday night, so I would think that I think Denver also really wants to play Saturday against Alabama.
Sure.
And I still think you're cautious as possible.
I think you're cautious Saturday, but not as cautious because it's been a week since it happened. We'll see if Denver can't go, then there would be a pretty serious adjustment to the minutes and presumably the starting lineup as far as what Auburn does with the is does does does
I think Tahad starts.
You would think Tahad would get his first career start.
Tahad starts, but I mean, do they go Chad? I mean, Bruce has talked about Chad being able to handle the ball. Do they go Chad? I mean,
are there minutes available for Ja'Kai with Denver Jones out potentially? Because the perimeter,
that would really be interesting to see Chad and Ja'Kai on the court at the same time.
I would think Ja'Kai's not playing those point guard minutes,
no.
But Ja'Kai would maybe open up. It maybe opens up minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would also potentially open up more minutes for Chris. But right. I think that there. But with Ja'Kai maybe back in the fold. No Denver Jones gives you an opportunity to test out some rotations that include Ja'Kai Howard, which I think would be an interesting development with the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament around the corner.
Yeah, and you wonder, you know, can J.P. Pegues?
Could J.P. Pegues be back in the picture?
Who's opened the season as your starting point guard.
And who minutes. Bruce has mentioned before, like, could still be utilized if Auburn if Auburn needs to find some point guard minutes. I think it would be very interesting to give J.P. a run in either half tonight and see what he can do with a couple of minutes against a team like Texas A&M. It would be I think those are both, you know, the chance of JP or Ja'Kai seeing a minutes increase because of if Denver Jones can't go, that would make this game even more interesting, because then you have something that could have, because
right.
that has ramifications potentially beyond what happens tonight, and maybe even what happens when Denver Jones comes back, because you don't if Ja'Kai Howard were to get a few more minutes and shine. Suddenly that becomes a tempting option to...
Yeah, then you're all of a sudden deeper going into the postseason.
J.P. Pegues too.
Yeah.
If J.P. Pegues were to show you a couple of quality possessions, you know, suddenly you've got another option you feel like could be viable in a different game.
Just heard from Andy. He is almost back to his room. He said he'll be ready in 4 or 5 minutes. So what we'll do is we'll get to break here in a minute or so. And then he should be ready when we come back from that break. So we'll have him for plenty of time here at the end of this hour.
No, so I would think the cautious approach, without, you know, again, I'm not his physician, but I would think the cautious approach is no Denver tonight.
Yeah, it was really good news, really good positive news when Bruce said it wasn't even a bone bruise or an ankle. It was soft tissue, so. Just a bruise. I mean, I'm sure painful, very painful. And, you know, maybe Denver does play tonight. We'll find out. I don't know if Andy knows, or Andy may know, but he may not tell us either, because it's pregame and you don't want word to be getting out.
My assumption, too, would be that they're probably going to see how he's feeling.
Right.
Right, like, I mean, maybe they test it out pregame and see how he can go. You know, see how he's doing. Especially with the, again, not that it changes any of the other goals, but you know, with the conference title off the table, I could see, and with the possibility of seeing what some other guys look like if you don't play Denver Jones, like we were saying, you know, that suddenly these minutes open up that you can attempt some different things. I could see the temptation to keep Denver out tonight on the coach's side.
I understand completely, but Bruce really does want to go 9-0 on the road. I mean, that is something. As we were saying, I couldn't think of a team just off the top of my head other than that Kentucky team that went into the tournament unbeaten that would have won, you know, 9 road games in the conference.
Bruce went 14-2 at Tennessee one year.
Yeah, of course, that would only give you 8 road games.
Right, and I don't know if they went undefeated on the road either. I think they may have gone undefeated at home that
just looking,
year. In
yeah, just I mean, did Bama go unbeaten on the road? Didn't they go 16-2? There haven't been many. Let's put it that way. There have not been many teams to go 9-0 on the road, which is what Auburn's trying to do this evening. All right, we'll go ahead and get to our final break of hour number one. And when we come back, we're going to chat with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive, Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we're pleased now to be joined on the Drive hotline by the voice of the Auburn Tigers getting ready for tonight's matchup against Texas A&M, and that, of course, is Andy Burcham. Andy, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Bill. Getting ready for a big one tonight against A&M on their senior night. Auburn will have its senior day on Saturday, but this is senior night for the Aggies tonight, so it's bound to be an emotional ball game tonight for Texas A&M.
Oh, no question about it. And they have a few seniors, and they're also desperately looking to get things turned around. They've been sliding a little lately.
When you look at the end of this schedule for Auburn, and it started, of course, with the game at Kentucky, and then you go to Texas A&M, and then you have Alabama. There was a chance that Auburn was going to finish the year playing three teams in the top 10. Well, Kentucky wasn't in the top 10. Until A&M went on a four-game losing streak, they were a top 10 team. They were almost a top 5 team. But they've lost four in a row coming into tonight, so I think that adds to, I don't know if desperation mode is the right way to put it, but perhaps for A&M right now, because I think their seeding in the NCAA tournament has slipped in the last 2 weeks, while Auburn's has remained rock steady as the number one overall seed. So there is a great deal on the line for both of these teams, perhaps a little more of a desperation mode for A&M going into this late-night game tonight.
Before we talk more about tonight's game, though, we've got to go back to Saturday. Auburn finally snapping that long skid, 37 years without a win in Lexington, and they did so in a resounding manner.
And you got to see it, Andy.
Yeah, you got to see it all, which not, you know, unless...
It was quite a day.
Yeah.
It was quite a day in Lexington. And I guess this was my third trip to Lexington with men's basketball. And the last time that Auburn played there, it was a blowout from the beginning, and Auburn was never in the game. It was amazing. One of the few times I've been able to say that under Bruce Pearl. But Auburn went into this game as the team that has played like the number one team all year long. And in spite of the fact that I think Kentucky did everything it could to take Jani Broome out of the game, this was an example of this isn't just a Jani Broome basketball team. This team can beat you in more ways than just number four now. Many times, he does enough to beat you, but not on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And it was Miles Kelly, and it was Tahad Pettiford, and it was Chad Baker Mazzara. It was Auburn's guards that won that game on Saturday at Kentucky. And it was an odd scene late with the Auburn fans,
I'm sure,
a lot of them right behind the bench, but just kind of sprinkled throughout that cavernous arena, which we all hope Auburn's going back to, by the way, in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. But the Auburn people were standing and the Kentucky people were standing and leaving.
Right.
I've never seen that before, Bill, and I guess we probably haven't. I'm not sure we've ever seen that at Rupp Arena, because even
not with Auburn, absolutely.
It was a buzzer beater.
No, you're not kidding.
On the short list. I know the stat was out there. It's on the short list of the worst conference home losses in Rupp Arena history.
Sixth worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was an odd, that was odd to see. And I know we had a lot of people watching on our YouTube feed because of the trouble that ABC was having there. And then we get on the plane, you know, we get out to the airport in Lexington, and it's about an hour flight back. And by the time we land in Auburn, they're in the last couple minutes of that Tennessee-Alabama game in Knoxville. And the guys were literally on a bus to take them back to campus. I guess they were taking them actually to Toomer's Corner to help celebrate with the Auburn family there when Mayshak hit that three just inside midcourt to win the game. And now not only is Auburn the SEC share of a champion, they're the outright champions now. of the Southeastern Conference. And all of that happened probably within 10 to 15 minutes after we landed at Auburn University Regional Airport. And so now, with two games to play, Auburn's the SEC champ. Auburn's the number one seed at the SEC tournament. Auburn knows it will play that first game on Friday at the SEC tournament and could play Kentucky again in that game on Friday. So, yeah, a lot of things happened, and it took me a little while to kind of process everything that had happened on that day, that historic day for Auburn basketball.
I mean, there were a couple of things that if you'd been told that Janai's going to score 9 points, he's only going to get three baskets in the entire game, Auburn's going to be out-rebounded by 15, probably didn't feel like there'd be a chance that Auburn's winning it going away.
No, but, again, it gives you the example of that this team can beat you in a number of ways, and they did that Saturday at Kentucky, where Auburn had not won since 1988. And I think Bruce Pearl had only won one time before when he was with Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he has ever gone. He's gone to Lexington a lot. And when I asked Stephen Pearl one day when we were getting ready for this game, I said, Stephen, how many times did you win in Lexington? He said, never. I never won there as a player. Now, we beat them all the time in Knoxville, but I never won there as a player. So it was rare.
There aren't many teams, aren't many teams that have have had a lot of success in Lexington.
And the way Miles, 9 threes, which is just one off the team record. It's the most any Auburn player has hit in a game this season. I mean, you get the, like you said, it was just 1 point from Janai in the first half. It's largely Miles and Chad providing a lot of the early offense. Denver gets hurt. Tahad's still working through his three-point shot, but as we said yesterday, you get 19 huge minutes of turnover-free basketball from Tahad Pettiford. But no, the way this team has perimeter options, it is, I mean, it's reminiscent of the teams that Bruce had in the past that won the regular season title and in fact went to the Final Four with the way they can take a game over from the outside.
I think this team is as equipped as any Auburn team has been, including that Final Four team to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. Listen, that 2019 team, how many people would have given Auburn any chance at all after beating New Mexico State to beating North Carolina, Kansas, and Kentucky in consecutive games to make it to Minneapolis? Nobody would have. Maybe that team, but that's it. This team has played in front all season long. It has been the team with its target on its back all season long. It's been since it's been the number one team. And this is the 10th week that it's been the number one team. This is so different, I think, than any season Auburn has had in basketball. And now we'll find out. Now we're getting down to the end of this season with two huge games tonight and then Alabama on Saturday, then the SEC tournament, and then the NCAA tournament. And Auburn has a lot to prove for the rest of this year. I don't get the idea that there's a letdown at all by this squad going into tonight's game. I think this team wants to finish and have the greatest regular season in Auburn history. And if it can win tonight against A&M, it will set the Auburn record for most SEC wins in a year. And if it beats Alabama Saturday, find a better regular season in Auburn basketball history. I don't know if you could find one.
No.
Than the one that this team is on right now.
No, you're right. And you answered what I was about to say. I mean, that's the thing now. The challenge now is to get back out there and do what they've done all year and take care of business.
Absolutely, Bill. And, I don't know at this point how much Denver Jones will play tonight. Mm-hmm. He is listed as questionable. You can tell that there is still some tenderness in that ankle. I've been told that he's not going to hurt the ankle anymore. It's a pain tolerance
right
now. But don't be surprised if we see Tahad Pettiford out there and getting a lot of the playing time at the point guard spot tonight for Auburn.
Looking forward to it, Andy. Again, a late start, 7:30 on Wings. We're running into the final minute or so here. So if you've got everything in front of you, let us know what all's on tap for the network.
Well, John Cohen on the Talking Tigers podcast this week, we talk NIL, we talk facilities, we talk baseball. And boy, by the way, what a great weekend for Butch Thompson's team in Texas last weekend. Jeff Graybaugh, Auburn gymnastics coach, on the next Talking Tigers. Auburn baseball tomorrow evening at 5:30 at UAB, a game that was moved. Brad will have that call. Brad and Jason Caldwell with that call tomorrow evening from Birmingham. And then get ready for Old Dominion. 6-5-2 are the scheduled games this weekend for Auburn baseball at Plainsman Park. And, of course, then we're getting ready for this one tonight. And then Alabama at 1:30 on Saturday. Our coverage tonight starts at 7:30. Tiger Talk tomorrow night, or excuse me, Thursday night at Baumhauer's. We'll be joined by Jordan Szabo, Auburn women's tennis coach, and Bruce Pearl. And then getting ready for Saturday, Auburn-Alabama, to close the regular season with a 1 o'clock broadcast time on Wings 94.3.
Great job, Andy. Really appreciate it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great broadcast tonight.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great one. War Eagle!
And with that, we are done with hour number one here on the Tuesday Drive. Right back, so come on in and join us.
Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a... It is an overcast and windy. It isn't breezy. It is a windy Tuesday. So be careful. There are liable to be some at least limbs down, especially after dark tonight when the rains come. But, I mean, there are some strong winds. Wind's been blowing 20-plus miles an hour, and there are possibilities of gusts up to 50.
I showed you the picture from the night when we were recording the Observer podcast late here, and I came home to a pretty serious branch where I like to park.
Mm-hmm. Just imagine. Oh yeah, that was a limb. That wasn't a branch.
Yeah, that was pretty.
That looked like a small tree.
That was a small. Yeah, it was a fraction of that tree had made its way down to the parking lot, and I was fortunate that. That nobody was around, or no cars were in the blast radius.
And as you were saying, I mean, Fat Tuesday, there'll be a lot of people out and about. Just be aware and be careful, because there could be some limbs and possibly worse down.
Yeah, we're
this evening.
We got a big jug of hand grenades here in the studio, right? That we're taking sips off of the.
Mm-hmm. That's. Oh yeah. Hurricanes.
That's right. Hurricanes and hand grenades. It's be safe. You know, we were talking about it at the beginning of the show. Some serious weather in New Orleans and Mobile tonight. So and also that didn't that impact the baseball scheduling? The same.
Yeah, it did. I mean, Auburn baseball was supposed to be playing tonight in Birmingham against UAB, and because of the threat of severe weather and the storms and winds across the South today, they moved that one back to tomorrow. So. Auburn UAB will be playing 5:30 tomorrow up in Birmingham. Auburn basketball, there shouldn't be anything that affects that tonight out in College Station. 8 o'clock tip, 7:30 is the airtime on Wings 94.3. The Tigers looking to wrap up a perfect road schedule in conference. And I said, you know, Marlene should probably have that in game notes, and she did. As it was pointed out there, Auburn looking to become just the second SEC team in the last decade to go unbeaten on the road. And
I believe Bruce's first team to ever go unbeaten on the road in his
illustrious career.
Yeah,
it's a big deal
career.
For him. I mean, he's talked about that. And you know, and part of it is a little bit of a, we'll show you, because one of the things that Auburn sort of got a – backhanded compliment. It was like Auburn's really good at Neville Arena. Well, Auburn's been as good, and as a matter of fact, in conference, been better on the road, unbeaten on the road, with its only loss coming at home against Florida. So that one is coming up this evening. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on tonight's game. As Andy was telling us just a few minutes ago, the voice of the Tigers saying, you know, Denver Jones, questionable. But the good news is now we know that the doctors have said he can't hurt it anymore by playing. It's just a matter of, you know, how well he can tolerate the pain that he has down there around the ankle. And Bruce Pearl yesterday telling us it's not a bone bruise, it's not an ankle injury, it's soft tissue, so that means just like a deep bruise down around the ankle. So we'll see if Denver plays tonight. I would think if he plays, they play him sparingly. So look for Tahad Pettiford to get a good bit of the action at the point this evening.
Great stuff with Andy in hour number one.
Always. If you missed any of it, check out the podcast.
Podcast of the Drive, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center, or just type in The Drive with Bill Cameron on your favorite podcasting platform and look for us that way.
Podcasts and the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That text box number is 334-564-1840. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a caller right now on the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That's 334-321-1390, and Pat gets us going. Hey, Pat.
Happy Fat Tuesday to you, Pat.
Hey, man, I'm ready for it. Yeah, that was incredible this weekend. I wanted to say something about Texas A&M, though. So, you know, it started out the season, it looked like they were really good, and, I mean, they were winning. But if you go back now and look at who they really played, okay, so they beat Ohio State, who was ranked at the time, but now they're not. They beat Creighton, who was ranked at the time, and now they're not. And they beat Purdue, who is still ranked, but they won by four. Then they did beat Texas Tech, who wasn't ranked at the time. I think they're ranked now. But then when you go in the SEC, you know, their best win is Ole Miss by one at Ole Miss, and Missouri at Missouri by three, which is good. Those are two good wins. But they didn't beat anybody else. I mean, they beat Oklahoma twice. They beat Texas once and lost once. They beat LSU, and then they beat South Carolina and Georgia and Arkansas. And those two aren't bad, but they were at home. But then they lost to Mississippi State and Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Florida. So in reality, they're a good team, but I think they really haven't beaten anybody really good.
I mean, at Missouri and at Ole Miss are their impressive SEC wins.
Texas beat them at College Station?
Texas beat them. Yeah. I mean, no, Texas beat them in Austin.
Oh, okay.
They do not have a win over a team that you would. I mean, we were talking about it earlier, Pat. Like, ultimately, the separator between Auburn and Tennessee and Florida and Alabama, because I think all four of them are real. And I can understand disagreeing if you don't think one of those four teams belongs. But like, all four of those teams are real Final Four contenders. Auburn is the one of those four teams that didn't lose to a team with inferior talent this year in a conference game. Florida lost to Georgia, Bama lost to Ole Miss, Tennessee lost to Vanderbilt. And that's ultimately why this conference title race is already wrapped up. You know, I think A&M would be, like, I think Auburn's got a better team than A&M, and it would be a loss. It would be a snapping of that streak.
Right.
But ultimately, like, I mean, this Auburn team's taking care of business when they have the advantage and when they can attack another team's weakness. And A&M's got, you know, they play hard and they rebound, but they've got a couple of weaknesses, and I wonder if they have enough down low on both ends of the floor. This feels like it could be a really big night for Auburn's bigs.
Yeah, well, I think the key that where they don't match up is that they're okay. A good offensive team goes against our great defense, and they can hold their own and get to 70s, you know, maybe 70, 75. Okay, but an average offensive team, we shut them down, and that's the problem. Is when you go against an elite defense, you can't have an average offense. We'll lock you down. So I think that's what you said earlier. You said, you know, they're subpar shooting percentages. They're more about shoot it up there and go get the rebound. Mm-hmm. Well, then that means that they're probably going to be off, you know, definitely on their first shot. So Offensive defensive rebounding is the key in this game to me, 100%. If they don't get their second shot,
yeah, don't give them second shots. Auburn can't get out rebounded by 15 like they did at Kentucky. Of course, that was part of that's because Auburn hit so many shots.
Yeah, but Kentucky is a good offense though. They score 100 several times. So I don't see Texas A&M scoring. You know, they've gotten in the 80s a few times, the 90s one or two times.
Now, this ought to be low scoring. Florida ought to be a low scoring game.
Yeah, and Florida was scoring at will in that game too, right? Like, I mean, they were just. I mean, it was not.
They're scoring 67-75 is what they're scoring about. So that's not a good offensive team in terms of going against our defense. So I think as long as we take care of it, we just do what we normally do, I think we would win. We just don't have a horrible shooting night. I think we'll win. But, you know, we get every game, like you said, we can almost win every game, and you can almost lose every game on a given night.
This feels like one where if A&M is probably – like, I don't think A&M can win one-on-one matchups down low with Chennai and Chaney and Dillon enough. So what you're probably going to see is – additional attention paid to the Auburn bigs and sort of A&M daring, like they tried with Florida, and you're going to
Kentucky sort of did too.
And you're going to dare Auburn's perimeter players to beat you from three. Now Florida went 14-30 or something from three on Saturday against Texas A&M because A&M thought, well, that's the only chance they really have. They're not going to win.
I just wonder, after seeing what Auburn did in Lexington, do they feel comfortable doing that same thing again?
Yeah, but I don't know if they have the forwards to do anything else. Like, I think if you try to just hope, I mean, you can try to win one-on-one matchups with the posts, but that hasn't been A&M's game much this year, and they're facing the best front court that they've played. I mean, a week where you play Florida and Auburn,
That is tough on your front court.
Yeah, good luck. Because those are probably two of the three best anybody's got in the country, and A&M's got to figure out how to bounce back from getting beaten pretty soundly against Florida on Saturday.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to probably be like a 12-15 point win in the end. I think they'll keep it close because it's at home.
It'd be great just to get out of there with a win, be getting Denver healthy, and you got a little extra time to get ready for Saturday.
I would think if that wasn't the case, Pat, I would think that Auburn had an extremely cold night from three offensively, and I would think that one of the two A&M guards, probably Taylor, went off for a big night. Because we have had, you know, one thing people have pointed out is that there have been some games where a perimeter player
just lights it up.
Has gone crazy against Auburn this year. It hasn't necessarily cost Auburn a win, but there have been games where, you know, whether it's Padula the first time in the Ole Miss game, Trey Johnson had that crazy last couple of minutes in the Texas game, like there. So I would be a little worried about, especially with Denver Jones maybe not being 100%. Be worried about Wade Taylor having a huge game, and I think that if you're A&M, you need him to be electric tonight to really stay with Auburn, because I don't know where their points are going to come from otherwise.
I think we're going to play loose because I think the SEC. I think winning that was a big monkey off the bat. I think not having to share it, I mean, you could see the joy that they didn't have to share it. I think that's a lot of pressure off your back. I think they're going to come out loose. I think it's going to be a good game. I think we're going to win. I think we got them.
I think the pressure. There's so much pressure on A&M. They like Andy was mentioning. They're trying to avoid their fifth straight loss. I mean, everybody was so high on them, like you were saying, Pat. I mean, they're a top five team. After they beat a couple of those teams that everybody thought was really good early, now they're just hanging on. And like Dan was saying a little while ago, trying to avoid, you know, dropping down to a much lower seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think if we get out to a 10-point lead at some point, I think they're going to start losing their confidence because, like you said, that four game losing streak, it is against good teams. I mean, they did play.
Oh yeah,
they kind of ended up at the wrong way, but. But I think their confidence is going to be gone. I really do. If Wade Taylor's not hot, like 7-9, I think they're going to be in trouble. All right, thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Appreciate it, Pat. 334-321-1390.
Taylor and Phelps are both good players, but they both miss a lot of shots. And it's just like like running your offense through two guards who miss a lot of shots, who can also score, but they're like two volume scorers. And that's a tough way to beat really good teams. And I think it's you need both of them probably to be. If you're A&M and you're trying to draw an upset against Auburn, you need one and probably both of those two guys to really be on their game tonight offensively.
And they need another thing they do well is they force turnovers, but then Auburn doesn't turn it over. Yeah. I mean, they need Auburn to help them. Auburn needs to help them by, you know, turning it over, making some, you know, distracted type plays.
Teams that need live ball turnovers against Auburn have really struggled this season, because that's not a thing that this Auburn team, you know, a lot of the tricks that this Auburn team, I think that's one of the reasons Ole Miss struggled in both of their games against Auburn, is that's a team that wants to create live ball turnovers and get out and run. Oklahoma really wants to get live ball turnovers and play their game that way. And when they're facing an offense that takes a really good first shot and doesn't turn the ball over very much, it can keep them from dictating the pace of play. And with A&M, I mean, that's another crucial one. Like how many steals, how many live ball turnovers did A&M force against Auburn? And if that number's low, you know, you're sort of counting on Auburn to shoot a low.
Not good news.
Well, you need Auburn to shoot a low percentage at that point, because otherwise they're just going to be one of those. You know, they're going to have one of those nights where they're a historically good offense.
All right, we've got another segment where the phone lines are open. Love for you to join in. A reminder: don't forget hour number two of the drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 20 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here with Drew at the controls. Probably a good thing not playing baseball. Look, turn around and look at the trees.
Oh, I could see. I mean,
there is some serious wind blowing right now.
Yeah, some gnarly weather potentially blowing through tonight. So be safe as you celebrate Mardi Gras, as you celebrate Fat Tuesday here in one of our favorite holidays, you know, from where we grew up. Talked about that a little bit earlier in the show. But yeah, be aware tonight of some serious weather here in the area. And of course, we're talking about like Mobile and New Orleans and stuff, like some very severe stuff.
I mean, it has felt scary today too, because it's so warm. All of a sudden, I mean, so much warmer today. It was in the mid-70s. Look at the did you see the radar? Before I half close the page, look at that.
Yeah, that is a big old blob, a big old multicolored blob blowing through.
A lot of yellow and red moving through here overnight. So yeah, be ready for that. Be careful because they're if you're going to be out, there are going to be plenty of people out. So just be careful if you are, and be aware that these winds aren't going to die down anytime soon. So again, good idea not to be playing baseball in this. They're playing tomorrow night. Auburn softball, let's see, they've got a midweek game as well, but I was thinking it was tomorrow as well. Let me I was looking at the schedule. Andy was giving us some of those things a little while ago, but Auburn baseball, by the way, number 22 in the country this week, moving up in the polls after those three games that they won this past week down in Arlington. And Auburn will play the Auburn softball will play Troy tomorrow at Jane Moore Field. So again, good thing that neither one of them is, and we'll is playing
see if,
today.
We'll see if weather's impacting anything tomorrow. I know there's also, you know, but it feels like tomorrow will be a better day for some of this stuff. And the Auburn baseball team continuing its run. Just the one loss to Holy Cross, right?
Yeah.
And they've...
They're 11-1 now, and...
they got the Monarchs coming in this weekend, ODU, and then conference play getting started. This is the last weekend before before Vanderbilt, right? Auburn's got... Isn't it Josh Donaldson Day?
Next Friday.
Next Friday is the first conference game of the season. Vanderbilt's coming to town, and it's the tribute to Josh Donaldson, who I don't know the dollar amount, Bill. I don't know if it's been made public. He's been generous.
Yes, he has.
He's been generous with some of his.
Yeah, I don't think he has made that public, but he's the batting cages he pretty much contributed those,
and has
done a good bit more.
And that's I don't want to suggest there's an obligation, because that's not the word. It is interesting. I know James Harden was recently talking about this, right? Like the hope that that athletes who have gone on to very lucrative careers, if there's a sense that you should be helping your former college program, with the next generation of athletes through NIL programs. I know James Harden has pledged money to Arizona State men's basketball, and there are other athletes who have made those sort of commitments to their alma maters, NIL programs. And yeah, Josh Donaldson is somebody who walks the walk, right? Of a guy who a former Auburn athlete who has made tens of millions of dollars as a professional, who is generous with that money, going back to a program that helped turn him into a major leaguer.
Yeah,
again, not to give Auburn all the credit for Josh Donaldson's career. He certainly deserves. He does.
I mean, he's a guy that people weren't sure, was he a catcher? Was he, where was he going to be?
You remember him as a player.
Yes.
So was the sense that the bat always was going to play, and it was just a matter of figuring out.
Felt like he had the potential, just didn't know if he could do it consistently enough, but he had plenty. I mean, that's why there was a lot of intrigue when he was drafted as a catcher, because of the bat. But then he moved, and it was like, is he going to make it? The A's, when the A's traded him, it's like they didn't see the full potential that he had, and then he blossomed and became an all-star slugging third baseman.
I think that was a pretty big deal that he got traded in. Like, you got the sense that it was he was making waves in the A's organization,
but they weren't sure about him defensively,
right? And he gets traded as part of a package where there's like, ooh, the place where he's going could have. Because that was the, he's drafted by the Cubs,
yeah,
and then drafted and then traded to the A's for Rich Harden. He's part of the package in the
that was a big deal.
That was
Rich Harden was a proven lefty
in 2008.
The Cubs are looking to try to bring in to help them get over the hump. And contend in the postseason.
Package of prospects to get a potential ace from Oakland,
right.
From Oakland to Chicago.
So my bad, I had it backwards. It was the Cubs that weren't sure about him.
And then the A's, the A's, he turns into an all star, and then goes to Toronto and finishes his career from there. You know, including the stint with the Braves. But Josh Donaldson, a tremendous, and a lot of it. A lot of it is the bat, right? Like he had solid seasons.
Oh, he was an outstanding third baseman too, though.
Oh, certainly. And the 2015 season, like Toronto had that. I mean, that stretch of. I mean, they just had, just a couple of terrors. Batista, right? You had. I mean, you had some real thumpers in the Jays lineup. That was the. They had postseason success like that. Remember the really dramatic, was the series with the Rangers with the fight. Right, like there. I mean, there's some. Yeah. Yeah, you see, that's Josh.
Yeah, you didn't mess with Josh. No.
And you know what? And he. I mean, you would have had like Batista, Edwin Encarnacion, who could bomb it. You know, in the mid 2010s, Tulowitzki. Right. They went and got as part of that, and then you had Josh. I mean, Batista, Edwin, and Josh is a
killer.
You make a mistake, and you make a mistake to any of those guys, and that ball's going to orbit. And so, yeah, it's really cool that Auburn's going to this weekend, a chance for Auburn to finish off the non-conference series. Right, like this is your last
non-conference series. There'll be obviously non-conference midweek games, but yeah, that's right.
And then
jump into conference play with Vandy next week.
And you remember, I mean, the start last year, like Auburn got knocked out in the first round in conference play last year. It was a 1-8 start to league play, and it felt like Auburn was really chasing, getting back in, you know, any semblance of getting back in the race. We'll see if Auburn can start. With Auburn, it's imperative, right? A better start in conference play, and that starts with. And it's not gonna be easy.
No, it starts with the doors. But yeah, this weekend, Andy, as Andy mentioned, 6 o'clock first pitch Friday, 5 o'clock Saturday, 2 o'clock Sunday against Old Dominion. Spring sports are doing pretty darn well right now.
Yeah, Andy mentioned that our buddy Jordan Sabo is gonna be on the. Is going to be on the Talking Tigers podcast.
I know they've made it up to number 4.
A lot of people are saying it's the drive bump, right? He's shifting into gear with the team after appearing on the drive. But no, the women's tennis off to a fantastic start with the new head coach. Softball's
number 17. They're 19-1.
People said it was going to take time, and we'll see. Look, conference play.
It's a lot different when you get into SEC play.
Yeah, just like. You know, and Auburn, the Auburn women play, was it tomorrow night in basketball against Florida. In the first round? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's and you know, a really tough year for the Auburn women's basketball team, 3-13 in conference play, and it's. I mean, when you get into league play, you're facing a championship level team very often, and we'll see what happens when the Auburn softball team deals with that kind of competition. But a fantastic start for Team Malvo. As they get ready to start trying to climb that mountain.
Yep, that's right. And we're getting ready to get to our bottom of the hour break. We're going to check in with Jake Crane, our weekly visit with Jake, when we come back. So stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And we head to the drive hotline and welcome in our good friend from Crane & Company. And that, of course, is Jake Crane. Hey, Jake, how you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic, getting ready to watch this basketball game that matters, but, you know, not really that much, and what a great position to be in.
Oh, it really is. I mean, over listening to Bruce yesterday, you can tell he really wants to have that perfect season on the road. I mean, it's very, very important. Auburn looking to just be only the second team in the last decade to go unbeaten on the road. You go 9-0 in this league on the road. And that's another just affirmation that this is the best team and the best league in the country.
That's really insane to think about, isn't it? And it's even more nuts when you look at where Auburn went and played on the road or in neutral sites during the non-conference and who they played against. I mean, imagine, and when you look at the numbers, this plays out, the hardest conference we've ever seen in really the KenPom era, at least, in college basketball. And not only are you 15-1 at this point, you're 9-0 on the. You can possibly be 9-0 on the road. That is just absolutely insane to think about. And to be honest with you, out of all the numbers, when you look at Auburn, that stand out. That to me may actually be the most impressive. I mean, just look at what happened to Arkansas the other night, going on the road to the quote unquote worst team in the conference in South Carolina. There's no nights off, and it's so hard. And I can only imagine, I didn't coach basketball, but even in a 12-game regular season in college football, it's not easy to get your guys up to play at the highest level in every game mentally. In basketball, it's just it's amazing what the staff and this team has been able to do, and I think that's where having the older guys has helped the most. Not just being prepared for any situation that happens during the game, but knowing how to prepare for every game, that's where that maturation, I think, really shines its brightest.
You can tell when Jake makes a really good point. We play the wind chimes in the background. No, Jake, that was something we said earlier in the show. Like ultimately, the thing that separates this Auburn team from, I mean, there are multiple Final Four contenders in the SEC, including Florida, who came to Neville Arena and beat Auburn. But the difference between Auburn and Florida and Alabama and Tennessee is that Auburn didn't have that game that you were just talking about, that letdown against a team with inferior competition. Florida lost in Athens. Bama lost at home to Ole Miss. Tennessee lost to Vanderbilt. Like, those are all games that if they'd gone the other way, this conference title race would look a little different right now, but because Auburn doesn't have a game like that, and those teams all do have a loss like that, Auburn is in a position where they've wrapped this thing up with two games left on the schedule.
Well, it's like just being an all-around great boxer. It's not just about you landing the first punch or throwing the most punches. It's also being a really good counterpuncher. I mean, everybody out there that's an Auburn fan, I'm assuming most people are, and you guys know this, how many times as an Auburn fan, when you're watching a game, even when Auburn is playing well, when that inevitable lull hits and the other team comes back, the first thing you think is, oh no, how is Auburn going to lose it? This team, I have never been more comfortable watching in intense moments, because I find myself actually saying, how is Auburn going to win this? Or I feel comfortable even though the game is tight, even in these biggest moments, on the road at Alabama, right? Playing Houston basically on the road, but playing in Maui, playing at Georgia, playing, you know, I've just very rarely in my Auburn fandom lifetime have felt comfortable about Auburn counterpunching when the momentum switches. This team has just found a way to do it.
Yeah, in any sport, Jake, you're exactly right.
Ever.
I mean, this team, it's like, who's going to make the play? Which one? That's about the only question. Is it, you know, which one of the guys is going to make that shot? Because none of them seem to have any, you know, there's no nerves when the game is on the line. It's like they all anticipate and look forward to it.
And something we got into yesterday, Jake, like nothing that happens in the postseason will change my belief that this is the greatest regular season basketball team in Auburn history. And maybe, I mean, it's among the best regular season teams that any Auburn program has ever had, right? Like that, I mean.
Look, I know we still got two games to go. And yes, from a regular season standpoint, Dan, obviously you're right. The postseason is going to dictate how you feel about the whole season. But from a regular season, I think this is the easiest take. This is the best team Auburn has ever had. Ever had. I wasn't alive in 1957 or 1973 or whatever. I was one of the mop boys under the goal when we had Chris Porter and all that stuff in like 98 when we were number one. This is the best basketball team Auburn has ever had. And I saw a stat the other day that Kentucky, who, do not forget, went like, they won 40 games and won the national championship. Auburn is rated higher overall offensively than they are. So if anybody tries to make any sort of argument that this isn't the greatest regular season, at least, basketball team Auburn has ever had, I think you're nuts.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, we have seen teams try different, different styles. Auburn has won games, the rock fight defensive struggles. Team tries to run on them. Kentucky, we were talking about this with Andy a little while ago. I mean, if you'd said, Janai's going to get three baskets in the entire game, as Bruce reminded us yesterday, Auburn got four field goals from their front court and got out-rebounded by 15, you would have thought they have no chance, and they win going away in Lexington.
It's as close to the 2010 or 2004 football seasons as this basketball program.
That's exactly right.
Even with some championship seasons in the past, right? The Jabari and Walker team was excellent. The team that won the regular season the first time in 18-19 or in 17-18 was an excellent team. The Final Four team in 19, like Bruce Pearl has had successes. This one feels more like Beatlemania. Yeah. Like that 2010 season in football, that 2004 season in football, and Jake, you would understand that, like, you know, having lived through them.
Yeah, well, to me, they're more like the 2004 team than they are the 2010 team in football, because the 2010 team, they were good, but let's be honest, like, they had Cam, mm-hmm. but Jani Broome may win National Player of the Year, but he still has not dominated the way that Cam Newton dominated all of college football in a sport that very rarely can an individual have that much of an effect.
And the 2004 team, I tell you, well, Jake, and the 2004 team was set up by...
We had dogs everywhere, Dan. Well, we had dogs everywhere.
And it was set up because Cadillac and Ronnie and Carlos Rogers decided to come back.
Like this basketball team saw, you know, multiple players decide to come back.
And they may come back again.
That's right.
Like, I don't care if we have a bunch of 30-year-olds rolling out there. If Chad Baker and Denver and some of these other guys want to come back, come on back. Yeah. The more the merrier. But I will say this, guys, I don't want to jinx Auburn or anything like that. But let's say that Auburn wins the SEC tournament and then the NCAA tournament, which means that you would end up with an overall record of what? So you got two more. Let's say you win out, you'd be
3 in the SEC tournament, 6 in the NCAA tournament.
So that's 38.
Yeah,
that's 38-2.
38-2
in the hardest conference ever. Is this the greatest college basketball team of all? And look, we can talk about John Wooden's team. It's unfair to compare eras, but if this team played John Wooden's team, they would murder them. They would murder them. They just athletes have gotten better. Whatever.
I feel like the best modern era team I've ever seen was the defending champion Gators. You know, I would think the defending champion Gators, but they didn't go through an SEC like this, and they didn't. And it was even that was kind of a different era. Right, because of the way careers are changing and things. But I think Auburn's in that. People would point to last year's UConn team, right? A defending national champion that brought back a lot and went through the season as the prohibitive favorite, and then made good on that in the tournament. Auburn's in the conversation, Jake, as the best college basketball team you've ever seen. That's probably where they'd be if they finished the job.
To think about. It's just the stupidest thing to ever think about. When I remember when we had Simeon Bowers dribbling the ball up the court, how Bruce beat Kentucky with those guys could be studied by scientists hundreds of years from now. But let me, and again, I know you guys are doing the interview, but Bill, I've always wanted to ask you this since the season started and it's gotten to this point.
All right.
We all know Auburn is football first, okay? I think we can all agree with that. But if Auburn wins the national championship in basketball, all right, you went to the Final Four in 2019, you win the national championship in basketball, when do we start maybe opening up the conversation? Like, just a little bit, that maybe football could matter a little less and basketball could matter, not more than football, but like getting close to mattering as much. Like, how long do you have to be good at basketball and how good do you have to really be from a championship standpoint for that to happen?
I wouldn't say that it's that far away right now.
The problem is you're still seeing it's not a problem, but I think you're still seeing the enthusiasm around the football program. As someone who went to every home game this year, Bill.
Right.
Like, there wasn't a game. People were surprised at the end of the season that the A&M crowd was so great, but it's like they had great crowds all season long. Yeah,
I get that, but
I think that would be the indicator for me.
It would lessen the excitement of football. Like, people are gonna show up to watch Auburn football. They will regardless.
Jake, but I think it's about there. I mean, the excitement for basketball is, people are the fervor is there. They're as excited about this basketball team as they were when Auburn was trying to make that run in 2010.
guys, I think you'll know when maybe the losses in football don't hurt as much. Maybe that they still hurt. You obviously want the football team to do great, but it's like, man, we lost in football, but boys, it's only this amount of time till best. People are camping out for the next game right after the end of the game before, right at the end of the game before that. That is insane.
If I'll tell you what, Jake, if it doesn't, if you're looking at similar results this season in football, this season, and for that matter, like, you know, like if the Hugh Freeze experiment does not work, you're a ways away from when you were a perennial conference championship contender in football, and maybe the table has
the more numbing it gets.
That's
each time.
That's where I think that would be. That's sort of what's riding on Hugh Freeze, right? As far as like, you know, what's at stake, because if it doesn't work. I mean, it's a very different landscape than it was a decade ago.
Yeah, I mean, you look at baseball right now, we'll see during the SEC. You look at softball right now, everybody is cooking. Mm-hmm. Our track and field team is out here cooking. Like, if football's and again, we'll see what they do this year. And I think Coach Freeze and them, I think it's going to be a better year, and obviously prayers to him and for a speedy recovery and all that. And obviously I've been a big proponent of his. But I'm just to the point now where I'm like, dog, if we win a national championship in basketball, like that, I just don't know what will happen, because I never thought that could happen. It'd just be like if a unicorn showed up in my front yard. I wouldn't know what to do, because I never would have thought that would happen.
No, you're right. It seems a whole lot more likely now that animal could be right around the corner.
And this isn't Auburn's first dance with being a favorite. I'd say this is the first season ever where Auburn has been the favorite to win the national championship for as long as they've been this year. Which you're right, is, I mean, we're in uncharted waters at that point.
Yeah, I mean We'll see.
Ahoy, Jake! Climb aboard.
Yeah, listen. I don't want to jinx them. I'm trying not to talk too much about it. But man, let it happen. Tonight, it's going to be nice to watch this game, and I'm going to care. But I'm not going to care as much as I would if we hadn't closed it out already. Just everybody be healthy.
Thankfully, you're not the point guard, right? Like, it's for the guys that are, you know, because I do think, and you know what, and that's an aspect of this game. Talked about it with Andy in the first hour, like with the question around Denver Jones's health and the fact that Tahad played 19 plus minutes of point guard in the second half against Kentucky. People didn't get to see a lot of it, but it was still, you know, 19 plus minutes in the second half against Kentucky. Like if Denver Jones is limited or unavailable, then suddenly, like, how Auburn distributes the 40 minutes at point guard and really the 120 minutes they have at the perimeter, you know, that becomes something intriguing about this game. Does it open the door to Jakai Howard playing more? Does it open the door to JP?
Let's let some guys get in there and get some work.
Does Pegues get a couple of minutes? Even.
Yeah, man, that's been the one, I wouldn't even say down spot. Everybody, and look, J.P. Pekes may be a pretty good player, but dude, everybody else is just playing so good. You don't want to change anything.
No, it is a different feeling, no question about that, heading into the night. Jake, we're running up against time, so let everybody know what you've got coming up and how, of course, they can get hold of it there at Training Company.
Yeah, man, look, it's really easy. Just go to Google. It's CRAIN and Company. We're talking a ton of college basketball. Obviously, always talking college football. Got live calls on Friday as well, so come hang out with us.
Sounds good, Jake. Thanks, man. Have a great week.
All right, man. Y'all be good.
Jake Crane joining us as he does on Tuesdays. We'll get to that final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Hip pain is not to be taken lightly.